Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The city of San Antonio has been developing a bike network plan with comments and suggestions from the public. They're getting ready to move into the next phase, but first, they're asking for your input again, one last chance. What are your experiences and insights regarding San Antonio's bike lanes and overall infrastructure? We do want to hear from you on this. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And we're joined by Harley Hubbard, the City of San Antonio Bike Network Plan Project Manager, and Joe Conger. He is a City of San Antonio Public Information Officer. And welcome back to The Source, both of y'all. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having us again.
Thank you so much.
Harley, so give us an overall view. What is it that the bike network plan, how's it shaping it?
It's going really well. We've had a really great and busy summer with public outreach. We are nearing the end of our last outreach phase and are getting ready to kind of put pen to paper and make our final recommendations before going to council adoption in January 2025.
So how important is it, Joe, that you go through this phase, that you're trying to get people to give us the comments? Is this just, you know, trying to create this impression that the city wants to hear from people, or how much do their suggestions actually shape this plan?
Their suggestions are so important to this plan. And the last time we were on with you guys, we had a really great turnout of over 100 people, which for a city meeting, that's a great opportunity. And they came out with sticky notes and markers, and they marked up our maps, and they showed us where they wanted to see bike lanes and how to connect things in their neighborhood, where they wanted to see connected sidewalks too. So we got a lot of great information from them, and we're just taking all that data and we're going to stick it into our little data machine and start cranking out some great networks, connected bike lanes.
So I just want to give this plug. We'll mention it again, probably several times, that there is one last meeting happening. And so, Harley, can you talk about that?
Yeah, so our last open house for the bike plan will be this Sunday, July 28th at the Community Center at Southside Lions Park. It'll be from 2:30 to 5. You can come and go. We'll have some great promotional items to give away, but it will be your last chance to kind of come, mark up the maps, talk about policy, or if you don't want to formally give feedback, just have a conversation with staff.
So what policy, what do you want people to comment on?
So there's a lot of different kinds of policy work that the city can do to enhance the safety of cyclists in San Antonio. And we are kind of looking at making recommendations with the Bike Network plan on policies that the city should pursue. One of those policies, for example, is a helmet law. Should it be required to ride a bike in San Antonio that you have to wear a helmet, kind of similar to the seatbelt law in cars? Also things like parking in bike lanes or riding your bike on a sidewalk. We got a lot of feedback from that on our first open house. We're looking for even more at the second.
So, okay, tell me, if I ride a bike on a sidewalk, I could get a ticket?
Technically, yes, but the average person doesn't know the difference between a sidewalk and a shared use path, and a shared use path looks awful lot like a sidewalk, so technically, it is against the law in San Antonio to ride a bike on a sidewalk.
Because, I mean, people who are maybe walking on the sidewalk,
yes.
It's a crowded sidewalk.
It's a crowded sidewalk. We have a lot of users using it for a lot of different reasons. So the safest is for bikes to be separate from pedestrians, to be separate from motorists, but sometimes there just isn't enough right-of-way to make that choice. And sometimes there's plenty. So it's just looking at each use in each individual area and not having a one-size-fits-all solution.
All right, let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255, and we have Johnny on the line. And Johnny, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling to say that I support the bicycle riders, drivers' right to be on the road, but I don't see a lot of compliance with the laws when it comes to turn signals, stop signs, and I see zero enforcement of those laws on a bicycle. The cars, they do it all the time, but not the bikes.
All right. Well, thank you for that call, Johnny. And so, Joe Conger, enforcement, is there data?
You know, there is data out there for enforcement, and I think it's, we have to be cautionary, because I'm a bike rider, but I'm also a vehicular driver, And what's good for the goose is also good for the gander. And so for as many times as you see somebody who may be, for whatever reason it is, going through as a bicyclist, going through a stop sign or something, is it a corrective behavior that we can correct? Yes. Should we? Sure. But as a bike rider, I also know that there's a sense of safety you get of thinking, I don't feel comfortable on this road, so I'm going to get off of here as quickly as possible. And so I'm going to skirt the law a little bit. And it's the same thing for drivers who are in their cars saying, hey, you know what, I'm just going to take this right turn real quick, and it's going to be my California stop. So behaviors are something that we will have to change, and that's something that the Bike Network Plan is going to address too. It's going to be an education campaign for all of us.
So what is the network plan looking like? Are we talking about building hard infrastructure, like dedicated bike lanes, protected bike lanes, and where does it look like people want these things to go, Harley?
Yeah, right now the bike plan is a whole bunch of pink lines on a map, really to ensure that we have connectivity and safety for cyclists, also so that there's redundancy in the network. So if your favorite protected bike lane is closed, that doesn't mean you now have an unsafe path to work. You have an alternative option. So right now we have over, 1,600 miles of proposed bike lanes or bike facilities in addition to what we have now. And those facilities aren't all the same. Some of them may just be painted bike lanes. A lot of them are going to be protected bike lanes, meaning there's some kind of vertical barrier or it's completely separated from motorists. And a lot of that is shared use paths, which is completely separate. Right now, the bulk of our bike network is our Greenway Trail system, which obviously does not allow vehicles on there, but that's over 100 miles of connected infrastructure that's just so integral to how cyclists move around the city. So, like I said, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Well, some cities have a really, they've done this, and they've seen people really take to it. Minneapolis, I think of, as, even in the toughest winter, you have people out there biking and using it for commuting. So is that something like that possible here?
Absolutely. So to your question, it's not just the built infrastructure of the bike lanes and the paint on the ground, but also really just how do we make it more comfortable for cyclists and pedestrians? A lot of that is shade. It's access to public drinking water. It's appropriate lighting where we go. So we were just out this morning and we saw people in the heat and the humidity riding their bikes with rain jackets in tow, ready to go in case it rained. And we need to remember that in San Antonio, for a lot of people, it isn't a choice of, oh, am I going to ride my bike or drive my car today? For many in San Antonio, riding their bike is the only way that they're getting to their job, to their doctor's appointments. So we're working to make it the most comfortable for them.
To Harley's point, we looked at data, and apparently we have 8% of the folks here in San Antonio who do not have access to a car. And so there is a significant need for other multimodal, as we call it, or micromobility, which is folks using anything from a skateboard to a scooter to a bike to get to their, not only their destination, but perhaps a job.
And what kind of information are we getting from those folks? I mean, so 8% don't have cars. They use these micro mobilities.
Or they use VIA.
Or they use or in combination.
Sure. And that's what we're trying to do with the Bike Network Plan is connect all that, right? So if you're going to go to a school and you're a kid and you're less than a mile away, is there a connective network? Can we help build that one? Does it mean completing sidewalks or making a shared use path so there's more opportunities for them to get to school?
All right, and to college.
And to the hospital, yeah.
So let's take a break here. We've got a minute and we'll come right back. Our phone lines are open. Want to hear from folks? This is a great opportunity to sound off about what you want from a bike network plan in San Antonio. What needs to change to get you out of your car and onto a bike? Call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The city of San Antonio is in the process of developing a master plan for a bike network system They want to hear from the public, because if the public doesn't have their say, then it's just not going to work. So to do it right, you have to participate. Tell us, what does it take? If you, I'm sure you thought about it. Maybe you've seen some other bikers do it, and you say, I'd like to do that too, but I'm not too confident that I would be able to survive that experience. What can change? How can we make this safer for you? What would it take to get you out of your car and onto a bike? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Harley Hubbard is with us, City of San Antonio Bike Network Plan Project Manager. What are people telling you that would make them feel like they could do this?
So we've heard a lot from people, and I think it was, 80% of respondents said that if there was safe infrastructure, they would ride a bike. So that's 80% of people who currently don't ride a bike are driving their vehicle every day, would make the choice to switch to ride a bike for commuting if there was safer infrastructure. So that's number one. We know the need and the desire is there. Number two is we're hearing what kind of infrastructure is safer. And you would assume maybe that the most expensive infrastructure is what makes people feel the safest. And that was not the case. We found that actually some very inexpensive infrastructure made people feel really safe. Some very small vertical barriers made people feel safe, and they felt just as safe as a completely separated facility. At our last open house, we did ask people what kind of facilities they would like to see. Obviously, majority was for shared use paths and for a protected bike lane. And we got absolutely zero votes for just a painted bike lane. So that shows you what the public feels is safe for their use and what they do not.
All right, let's go to a caller. Craig is on the line. Craig, thanks for calling in, and you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm originally from Austin, living in San Antonio now. I rode my bike, a lot out there. And one thing I've noticed in San Antonio is people drive a lot faster than they did in Austin. And I don't feel safe out on the road with the people who are driving like that. So do you work with law enforcement? Do you advocate with them to have increased patrols in areas that don't have all the infrastructure? Are you planning on doing anything like that? I think that's needed.
All right, Craig, thank you for that. There's been some discussion about lowering the overall speed limit that we have in residential areas. And as a public safety concern, not just for bikers, but also for kids and pedestrians, I don't know what happened to that, but that was discussed. I think there were some people who were objecting to it. Instead, they want to have more of those, you know, topes that we used to call them in Mexico, yeah. Those, you know, speed bumps. So, you know, can you talk to address Craig's concerns?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not just about lowering the speed limit. It's about making drivers feel like they have to move more slowly. So kind of similar to what you're saying, if we lower the speed limit, but the road is still just some wide open, there's tons of space, there's nothing in the way, there's no what we call visual friction slowing you down, you're going to go fast. Even if the speed limit is 30 miles an hour, you might find yourself going 40, 45 because the road doesn't feel like you need to slow down. So we work with our partners in Public Works on what's called some traffic calming measures. Those are things that we put in the roadway to make drivers realize this is actually a roadway that you need to go slower on. So it's a combination of the built infrastructure as well as police enforcement as well. SAPD does do some targeted enforcement in problem areas, but it's a citywide problem of San Antonians driving quickly.
I would say also that you look at the terrain in Austin versus San Antonio, and for the look of like a Calabria Road, you look at Calabria Road, it's 7 or 8 lanes, it's wide open. There's visually it says Audubon, and it's 45 and 40. It's actually 40 miles an hour as a speed limit for most of that 13-mile stretch, yet you wouldn't know that. The road is built to look and feel like something bigger that you can speed on. So we have a lot of engineering and re-engineering to do, I think. And which is great, we have a RAISE grant that's actually going to Calabria Road to actually go out there and plan and make it not only visually appealing, but also get those visual cues for that driver to slow down so that you can actually do those speed limits.
Another caller, let's go to Brad. And Brad, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yeah, I like the idea of making cities and towns bike accessible. I lost a good friend who was a surgeon. He was hit by a motorist who was evidently convicted of being DUI. And this surgeon, I don't think he would have been out on the highway had there been another option, or been on the service road by a highway. I think it was on 1604. He wouldn't have been there had he had other options. Protected bike lanes would do a good thing, and stricter enforcement of violations, traffic violations against bikers and biker traffic violations. But we really need to address the issue that you go a lot of places and like, well, I guess I'll have to chain my bike to this lamp or this tree or something like that. There is public locking places out there, but they're Spartan and few and far between. And if you want to encourage bicycling, you have more of those places to park, which I don't know if you could get businesses to sponsor them or something to make them kind of appeal to more people. But just a few of those ideas, you know, better pathways for the bikers and tougher enforcement against motor vehicle violations against people that are pedestrians or bicyclists.
All right, Brad, thank you for the call. Again, our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you want to call in with your take on what we can do to make San Antonio a more bike-friendly city. And so, Harley, bike parking, little, bike racks.
Yeah, that's definitely part of the infrastructure that we need to build out to make it a safe and convenient choice for people to ride their bikes. Kind of like I was talking about the shade earlier and drinking water earlier, you're not going to ride your bike somewhere if you're not convinced that there's ample bike parking, or at least just safe parking, so you're not, locking it up illegally somewhere or somewhere that it could be stolen. So it's definitely part of that support infrastructure and the bike plan that we're looking at for a cohesive, safe, accessible ecosystem.
And bike technology continues to improve, especially for people who don't want to pedal so much.
Yes.
How is that something that is calling for us? Like if we are able to provide, Joe, if we're able to provide a better bike path, better bike lanes, then people will adopt this new technology.
Yeah, it's if you build it, will they come? And the answer is yes. We're seeing it anecdotally. We'll have more metrics for it, I think, by the end of the bike network plan to say, hey, look, here's your results. But I myself am owner of both a bike and an electric bike. The electric bike is fun, it's easy, and it now has me looking for that next commute stop. Like, can I get to a Via Transit Center, and can I bring it on the bus? Can I park it at the bus?
Well, can you?
Currently, I can't. And so I'm sitting here going, ooh, I want to see some changes because that'll actually make my commute downtown a little bit better.
All right. So Harley, you want to add to that?
So VIA did recently change their policy on some of the buses with the front racks. You can bring an electric bicycle, but I think what Joe might be alluding to is a lot of electric bicycles have thicker tires, and that's what makes it harder to get them on the bus. So by VIA policy, yes, he's allowed to bring the e-bike, but does the e-bike fit is a whole other issue.
All right, so that brings up this issue of clarity of policies. Uncertainty is a action killer. If people don't know what they can do, then they end up doing very little. So how about being able to express these things in a clear way that people know what they can do?
Yeah, that's a big part of the process. Is it's not only safety and education on how to behave on our roads, but safety and education of what's available. There are great organizations in San Antonio like Gisalo Cycling Initiative and the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization that do bike safety classes, but they also have resources to tell you exactly what you can and can't do with your bike. Like, where is the best Via Transit Center with the best bike parking? And how do I get this bike onto this bus? Does it fit? Do I need to get a lighter bike knowing I'm going to put it on the bus? Those organizations along that we partner with and along with our Vision Zero team that goes out and does education and outreach does have those resources for people.
And so this is just one phase, and it's concluding, wrapping up, still opportunities for people to, provide their input. But what's the next phase?
The next phase is really pen to paper and kind of aggregating all of this information that we've heard, and we've kind of gone through it as we've collected it, but doing the final look at public input and kind of saying, we have this concern on this roadway. Is this something that we could address? Should we go to another roadway? Things like that. And really working on putting the final plan together. Even though it doesn't go to council until January, it'll go through various committees where people can come and provide public comment starting in October. So it's really pencils down only for a few weeks before we're up and running doing kind of our final rounds.
And don't think we don't know where we need to put these, because we kind of do. But these kind of comments from the public that we get actually could bring it to another tier. Like, this road is now a road that is a priority over this other road. So we're at that stage.
All right, let's go to another caller, Cosmia. Cosmia, you're on the air. Cosmia.
Hi, Cosima.
Cosima, all right.
I live in Beacon Hill, which is close to Via's new green line that's being built. And there's a lot of focus on transit-oriented development along the corridor. But I'm wondering if the bike network plan has looked at the transit corridor and has looked at improvements that need to be in those adjacent neighborhoods to make getting to the Green Line safer, to make using that transit safer.
Okay, so we're just talking about making decisions about priorities, who's going to get the dollars first. So is this going to be an area that gets designated as a priority?
Absolutely. So one of the ways that we've prioritized which projects to do first, we're looking at safety, connectivity, equity. And when we talk about connectivity, we're specifically talking about connectivity not only to key destinations, but like Joe said earlier, to VIA and to the new the upcoming Green Line. So that is something that we're looking at to decide what infrastructure needs to be built, how quickly, to make sure that people can easily ride their bike to get on VIA either at a traditional stop or a transit center. So that's definitely high in the prioritization.
How big of a biking community can we actually have in San Antonio? Where do you see this going? If you're able to do this right, what will happen?
That's a really good question. It's always hard. I got asked this morning how many cyclists are in San Antonio, and I said, I don't know. You don't have to register. You don't have to get a license. And the people who ride recreational are different for commuters. But to me, the bike plan will be a success. And what I've been saying about how you know when the work has been good is when parents feel safe letting their children ride their bikes to school, when it is safe enough for you to let your children to ride their bike to school, park their bike at school, and ride home in the evening. That's the level of safety we're hoping to achieve, because if we build for the road user that needs the most accommodations, the most amount of safety, the people that we're most worried about, we've improved the experience for everyone. So I definitely see more cyclists commuting more often, maybe recreational cyclists using their bike to commute, people who've never ridden a bike in their adult life maybe choosing to go recreational and then commute. I just think it will expand and expand and expand.
But right now, seeing a bike commuter, it's not uncommon, but it's not frequent. And so being able to try and grow that to like, okay, they've reached a critical mass of people who bike in San Antonio, and that we're seeing adaptation behavior with drivers, recognizing that they all have as much right to be on the road as they do. And, you know, getting to there seems to be, I mean, it's not that far away, but, you know, but we're not there yet, seems like.
There's definitely more growth when we talk about sharing the road and things like that. And I think part of that is not everyone sees a bike commuter every day because bike lanes don't get congested. There's no such thing as a traffic jam in a bike lane, even in these cities around the world that have amazing bike infrastructure and have tens of thousands of bike users every day. It's just an efficient way to get around. So people on bikes are often moving through more quickly. But we do have a lot to do, a lot of safety education and infrastructure for motorists, pedestrians, and cyclists before we get there. And it'll be a constant effort.
So let's plug one more time your event that's coming up. That's going to be on Sunday, July 28th, and talk about that.
Yes, the last open house for the Bike Network plan is this Sunday, July 28th at the Community Center at Southside Lions Park. We'll be out there from 2:30 to 5. We will have maps, comment cards, staff available for discussion, and some free promotional items. So please come out on a Sunday afternoon to make sure that your voice is heard.
And what's the run of show, Joe?
Run a show is you run the show as a resident. You come in and you let us know what you want. And I would just encourage everybody to understand that last mile. What do you do? How do you get around town? Where are you going? I get you're going to probably the grocery store and it's less than a mile away, and bikes could actually get you there.
Right. And you need saddlebags on your bikes to handle everything you're bringing back from the store.
And the grocery thing and the cart in the beginning out at the front.
There you go.
All right. Our attachment to the shopping cart. All right. So we're going to we got to say goodbye to our segment on a San Antonio Bike Network plan. We have information about their event on our website at tpr.org. If you didn't get that, you can find it there. And I want to thank Joe and Harley for coming in and talking to us one more time about the Bike Network plan. And we'll keep up as things develop. Thank you so much.
Thanks
thank you.
Us.
Stories continues right after this break. Stay with us.